tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Have you ever heard it said that all religions lead to God? Or another way that it is often said is that all roads lead to God. If you've ever been around someone who was more secular, maybe not committed to the Christian religion, it is a common phrase that all religions are basically the same, and all of them lead eventually to God. They may have different practices, they may have different roads, but it's just like this map that is all leading upwards, and no matter what path you take, eventually you get up to God. And I would say that up until Jesus, and even every religion after Jesus, that statement would be true. Jesus, though, comes and he totally messes that statement up. Religion is something that can do a lot of good. It can also do a lot of harm. And religion is the idea of people trying to get to God, trying to find a road, trying to pick a path, trying to do enough good works in order to get on God's good side. The word religion is a Latin word, and it comes from religare, and I'm probably butchering that. I didn't take Latin. I didn't take very many languages at all, so I barely speak English, so it's probably a mispronunciation, but religare is how it looks to me. Well, ligare means to bind or to connect. Adding the word re before it causes the word to mean rebind or reconnect. So religion is to reconnect with God. That's the idea of religion, to reconnect with God. And every religion tries to address this. How do we reconnect with God? There's a separation between us and God. And what do we have to do to reconnect with God? And so every religion comes up with its own set of rules and its own set of practices. And it says you need to do these certain things in order to get to God. And if you follow these certain things, then you'll be on God's good side. Maybe you've grown up even in Christian churches that follow that same religious philosophy, that it's up to you to do good to get to God. The problem with religion is that if you're the type of person who can follow rules, being a religious person leads to pride. And often what happens is if you're a type of person who follows the religious rules, you look down on other people who can't quite follow the rules like you do. Being a religious person also leads to hiding because you don't want other people to know that you have some issues in your life. So a religious person pretends to be better than they really are because the thought is, well, if I can just fool some people, then maybe they won't know. And if I can fool some people, maybe I can even fool God. And if I can fool God and do enough good things to outweigh my bad things, then I'll just follow this path and eventually I'll get to God. The other issue with religion is that a lot of us just aren't very good at following rules. So there are some people who are great at following the rules and just tell me what to do and I'll do it, but there are others of us who we hear the rules and we want to obey the rules and we want to do what we're supposed to do, but we're just not that good at it. And even when it comes into the Christian religion, there are things that we know we're supposed to do. We know we're supposed to pray and we know we're supposed to read the Bible and we know we're supposed to give money and we know we're supposed to go to church, and yet a lot of us struggle to even follow those rules. So religion says that it's up to you to reconnect with God. The thing that separates Jesus from every other religion is Jesus came to say that you can't reconnect with God. Jesus came to say that there's such a distance between us and God, it's impossible for us to get to God. We can't do enough good to outweigh our bad. So Jesus said, instead of trying to get to God, Jesus came to us. And Jesus declared not just that he was a good man, not just that he was a prophet, he said, I am, which meant he was God in flesh. And God came to us. The issue with religion is that when you have a religion, it leads you to think that if I do certain things, then God will bless me. If I don't do certain things, then God will curse me. And this thinking, it's crept into even the American Christian church. It's this thought that as long as you're a pretty good moral person, bad things won't happen to you. And what wrecks a religious person's life is when something bad happens to them. And when something bad happens, it causes you to think all these crazy thoughts. Like, did I make God mad? Did I not do enough good stuff? Is this suffering that I'm going through right now, is this pain, is it my fault? Did I not follow the rules enough? Religion leads you to say all sorts of crazy things. And I don't know if you've ever gone through something that you didn't think was your fault, but it was out of your control. I know for my wife and I, it was when we went through a miscarriage, and that miscarriage, I had these thoughts of like, God, did I do something wrong? Because the religious thought is if you do what you're supposed to do, God blesses you. And to go through something that is out of your control, it leads you to say, I must have messed up. Or it leads you to say, maybe God, you're not there. And Jesus, when he came, he didn't just say, hey, I'm a version of a religion. He came to literally destroy religion. And one of the things that Jesus does that destroys religion is that all religions teach the same thing. Be a moral person and God will bless you. But Jesus said, listen, when you follow me, you're actually going to suffer. And oftentimes we think that when we go through hard times, it must mean that God is distant from us. But I often think that God is closest to us in our difficult seasons. And I don't think that God causes every bad thing to happen, but I do know that we have a God that can relate to every bad thing that happens to us. 2,000 years ago on Good Friday, Jesus didn't consider himself to be above suffering. He was betrayed by one of his followers. He was thrown into a court and a trial, which was illegal, and it shouldn't have happened in the first place. And they convicted him, even though they couldn't find anything wrong with him. And they ended up torturing him in awful, inhumane ways. At one point, they put a bag over his head and they say, if you are the Son of God, prophesy and tell us who hit you. And they would slap him and say, tell us who hit you. And they mocked him. They handed him over to the Romans, and the Romans beat him with whips, and they made a crown of thorns for his head, and they put a robe around him, and they made him carry his own cross. And after some time on the cross, we have Jesus' last words. And I want to show you Jesus' last words because I think it is so important for us to really reflect on just how important today is. Jesus' words, we're going to look at it from John chapter 19, verses 28 through 30. It says, later, knowing that everything had been, what's that next word? Finished. And so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Did you catch Jesus' very last words before he died? He says, it is finished. Now, oftentimes when we talk about Jesus' last words, people attribute that to him predicting that he's taking his last breath and he's going to die. And I can't prove this for sure, but I don't think that is what Jesus was saying when he said it was finished. I can't prove this, okay? This is just me reading into things, me being a human and trying to think through. If I was on a cross and I knew that I was about to die, I knew I was about to breathe my last words would not be, it is finished. I might say, I'm dying. I might say, I'm done. I might say, deuces. I might say, tell my wife I love her. I might say some phrase, but why would I say, it is finished, and then die? A lot of people reference that Jesus was predicting that he was going to take a last breath, and I think that could apply there. But I think if you take, it is finished, with the very first sentence that we read. Look at it again. It says, later, knowing that everything had now been finished. What had been finished? Everything. Everything that Jesus had come to do had been finished. Well, what did Jesus come to do? Jesus came to destroy religion. It's finished. What's finished? It's finished that you have to try to earn your way to God. It's finished that your sins are counted against you. It's finished that you have to worry about if you mess up, the gods will be angry at you and they'll get you. It's finished that you have to work harder to make up for your mistakes. It's finished that you have to wonder, does God really love me? It's finished. It's finished. When Jesus declared those words, he wasn't saying, now that this is done, we now can create this new religion. What Jesus was saying is, you can have your religions if you want, but I'm not offering you religion. I'm destroying religion. Because religion's all about your work, and can you be good enough to get to God? And Jesus says, listen, I know we're all screwed up, so I'm going to come to you. It is finished. So can we just take a pause and just think about what Jesus died for just for a second? Because there's a chance that some of you have come in here, and maybe today you're used to the religious trap, and so maybe you feel kind of good about yourself. Maybe you even say to yourself that I'm better than a lot of the other sinners, but if you feel like you're a pretty good moral person, you haven't created any of the big massive sins, would you still just think for a second about the fact that you've not done enough good to outweigh your bad? And Jesus came and said, it's finished. Maybe you're here and you've lived a life, you have a story, you've got a past, you've sowed your wild oats, you've done all sorts of stuff that you could write stories about and that you're not proud about. And just for a second, would you just think about that? Because when Jesus died on a cross, he said, it is finished. When Jesus died, today it's not just about the gore and the blood, and just it's not just about a sacrifice, it's about the sacrifice for your sin and for my sin. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to continue to reflect. And the way that we're going to close out this time of reflection is, I want you to be thinking about those thoughts, about your sin that put Jesus on the cross. And if you want to, you don't have to, we're not going to force you to do this, but if you want to, if you really believe that it is finished, then what I want us to do is, I want us to take this red paper that's in, it was in your seats, it should have been. If you can't find it, we can get you another one. But we should also have pens in the seats. And on this paper, I just want you to write something that often causes you to feel separate from God. Maybe it is a sin from your past. Maybe it's a thought process. Maybe it's an overarching feeling. Maybe it's apathy. Whatever it is, maybe it's a specific sin that you know that you've messed up, you've screwed up, and it just comes to your mind right away. Whatever comes to your heart and whatever comes to your mind, I want you to write it on this. Don't write your name. Just write your sin. Write your thing. And what we're going to do is we're going to fold these up with our stuff inside of it. And Levi's going to play. And as you're thinking about that and as you're writing, when you feel comfortable, what we're going to do is we're going to walk up on this side of the stage. It's the right side of the stage. And we're going to be very careful not to trip on cords or knock anything off for Easter, because that would be bad. And we're going to walk across here, and up here at the foot of the cross, we have a basket of nails, and we have some hammers. And what we get to do to symbolically show that we really understand that it's finished is, we're going to actually hammer our sins up on the cross, all over the cross. And it's going to be kind of loud, because hammering nails is kind of loud, and there'll be music playing, but it's going to still be a time of reflection. But we're not stopping there. I've been a part of churches who have done this before, and what I don't like about this is this still ends up making me think about religion, because it's still about what I have to do to get to God, and it's still about my stuff and my junk. And so in order to get us to really think about Jesus, what we're going to do is we're going to nail our sins up onto the cross. But then we're going to keep walking on the journey, because Jesus didn't just say, give me your sins. He gave us something in place of it. So after you nail your sin to the cross, you're going to walk down this set of stairs. And on this set of the stairs, we have communion. And in place of your sins, the gift that you give Jesus is your sins, and the gift that he gives you back is his body and his blood. So we're going to take a moment to reflect And it's a little bit hard to reflect on our sin, but we're going to leave our sin on the cross, and then we're going to reflect on the love of Jesus. You're going to take a moment to take the communion, and then you're going to head back to your seat, and then we're going to end singing a song of reflection. And what I want us all thinking about going into Easter weekend is that it is finished. Would you guys take a moment to think and pray, write your sins, and then when you're ready, you can nail them on the cross. No matter what you're feeling, no matter what your week was like, no matter if you're ashamed of your past and you feel like you have no reason to walk into a church, it's finished. God loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. So don't miss this moment. Because see, today is called Good Friday because Jesus didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave. Don't miss this moment. We're going to sing this song one more time. For some of you, maybe it's a familiar song. For others, maybe it's the first time you heard it. But I just want us reflecting, because that's what Good Friday is about. It is about reflecting on the sacrifice of Jesus. So just one last time, would you let the words sink in? That amazing love, how can it be that our King died for us? We're going to sing it one more time, and then we're dismissed. And we ask that as best we can, that we are dismissed in a spirit of silence and reflection. Feel free to talk in the parking lot if you want, but on our way out, let's just soak this in. Let's just let what's happening in our hearts and our minds sit there before we move on to the next thing. Would you sing? Then we'll be dismissed as you reflect.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.